Oh, I'm really, really pleased to introduce Tommy, who's doing the share today on his 7-year anniversary. Woo! Hand it over to you, Tommy.
Thank you, Jan, and thank you for asking me to lead today. I'm Tommy, I'm an alcoholic, and yeah, my sobriety date is 2/22/2018. So today is my actual 7-year anniversary, and it was just kind of serendipitous that it fell on the day that you asked me to share here. And thank you to all the other people behind the scenes to help keep these Tuscanua meetings running. I fell in with you guys through our other Share What Works group, met Marsha and a few other people here from Tuscanua, and then got involved with some of your meetings and stole your music meeting idea and made it my own. So that now we have a full weekend of music, although I'm not sure if it's happening today, but we'll see. But how long do I have, Jan? Like 10 minutes, 5, 10 minutes?
No, as long as you like, Tom, as long
Oh,
as you
okay.
need.
Oh. I'll try to keep it 10 minutes or under, because I have a tendency to ramble, so let me set a timer for myself. But yeah, I got sober in February of 2018. And when I got sober, I was on the streets of East Pasadena. I had left a perfectly good job at a restaurant, walked off, was supposed left work on a Saturday, was supposed to come back that Sunday morning, and didn't come back for like 3 months, not even to pick up my last check. Ended up going from there to sleeping in an RV in Compton, and then in my car in Compton, and then my car ended up getting repossessed after I came back up to the Pasadena area of LA because people were looking to kill me in Compton, and then lost my car and started sleeping on the streets until people started looking to beat me up and arrest me in East Pasadena. That's what spurred me to get sober again. And when I got sober this time, it was a very humbling. Not humbling, humility. There's a difference between humility and humiliation. And it was a very humiliating experience because I did not want to get sober. I fought tooth and nail to stay out there, staying loaded this time. But it was cold. I owned like a blanket and a change of clothes. I had people on the streets after me. I had the Pasadena sheriffs after me. And it got to the point where it was just too uncomfortable for me to keep getting loaded. And prior to that relapse, I had worked in a rehab locally as a cook, and that was the humiliating part. So I had to go back to the same rehab that I used to work at to ask for help. But my disease and the way I practiced it drove me to that point where that was the options were jail, getting beat up on the streets, or my biggest fear has always been. So I've spent some time homeless and around homeless people. Like, I'm not so worried. Jail, I can handle okay. It's not fun, but I can deal with it. Like, if I die, like, whatever, that's the end of it. I don't, And I wasn't a big drunk driver, so I wasn't too worried about hurting other people. My biggest fear was and still is just being fine with being an alcoholic, being one of these dudes pushing a shopping cart on the street, sleeping on the side of the freeway, and just being okay with that. Because I hung out with way too many people that have been doing that for 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years on the streets, and we're just okay with that. Like, this is just as good as life gets. And that's what my biggest fear is if I make the choice to pick up a drink. So I went through rehab. I had no intention of staying sober. I was just trying to get off the street, get a little healthy again, get some food in me, get some, a bed and a roof over my head. And when I got sober, it was right around the same time that they started having a recreational marijuana was legal here in California, so they started opening a bunch of distilleries, dispensaries. And that was always my intention going to rehab. I'm like, the alcohol is my problem. After I get out of here, I can smoke weed again, get back on my feet, and everything will be okay. I went through rehab, finished rehab, got into sober living from there. The whole time I was in rehab, I did not want to be sober. I went through everything by rote because I had to do some step work. I had to get a sponsor. I had to do all these things to complete rehab and to qualify for their sober living, their bridge housing. So I did all that, but it was just routine. Like, there was no desire behind it. And it wasn't until I got out of rehab into a out of their sober living, their bridge housing, into a sober living in Altadena, California, next to a church where they held meetings. That I started wanting to be sober when I found the my I still consider my home group, but though I very rarely go there anymore because it was such a big part of my early recovery, and a lot of the people that are near and dear to me I met through there. Place called the 185, particularly the attitude adjustment, the early morning attitude adjustment in Altadena, California. And that was like probably 5 or 6 months into my sobriety when I found that meeting. And that's the meeting that kind of lit the fire under my ass to find a sponsor and start really wanting to do the work, because I'd go in there and I chose that meeting because it was right next door. I could stumble out of bed, sober living, grab a cup of coffee, head over in my pajamas. And what struck me about that meeting and what lit the fire for me was that's where I met people that, like, at 6:15 in the morning were smiling and happy and shaking each other's hands and giving each other hugs and joking around. And it was, a very boisterous meeting. There'd be crosstalk and like people telling people to shut the fuck up, you're chairing too long. And it was the kind of meeting that I like. I like my meetings like I used to like my bars. I used to love dive bars. I love a good dive meeting. I love a good down and dirty in person AA meeting. And that's what I found there. And the same kind of companionship that I look for when I went to the bars. Like walking in and everybody knows your name and shakes your hand, gets you a cup of coffee. It was just the sober version of a dive bar, basically. And so I stayed involved with that group. I started going pretty much, every morning there, and started finding some other meetings that I like. And the biggest driver in me wanting and giving that light of the fire on me and giving the desire to get sober and do the work was the people I met, particularly in that room, that are still. A lot of them are still really close friends of mine and really dear to my recovery today, because we all live within a couple miles of each other, so we go out, we'd see each other at the meeting, we go out for coffee. I got really close to a lot of these people, and that's to this day is my biggest wish for everybody else in recovery, and my biggest joy in recovery is the people that I've met here. I sit here with 7 years, not because. The only thing I did to get 7 years was I didn't pick up a drink. All the good things and the that have happened to me and the bad things that I've gone through in those 7 years are a result of the relationships that I've built with other people in this program. And so yeah, I found a sponsor there, who I now live with. We're no longer really sponsee. We're more friends now and roommates, obviously, but. He took me through the steps, and I appreciate the way that he, I came up. I had an experience with Alcoholics Anonymous prior to this time. I've been sober off and on since I was I'm turning 47 next month. Since I was about 20, so 25, 26 years now. I've been in and around the program for various lengths of time. So I came up in traditional AA, and I was used to that the structure of, you get out the Hazelden workbook, and it's very formulaic how you work your fourth step, and this is how you have to work your. If you don't work your third step like this, you're not doing it right. If you don't work your fourth step out of this little pamphlet they give you, then you're not doing it right. And that never worked for me. I always did it because I had to, to please my sponsor, to please the rehab or whatever. But I never really got anything out of it, and it wasn't until working through the steps with Christopher this time, where he allowed me to kind of, sat down and read the big book with me, but read it and presented it to me in a way that was more understandable to me. And it's like, oh, you don't like that? Okay, well then, fuck it. Oh, you do like that? Okay, then let's examine why you like that. What do you like about that part of the book or that part of the program? And it made it a lot more personal, a lot easier to digest for me. And just to kind of quickly run through like the first few, like I had no problem with the first step of being, the alcohol was a problem in my life. I knew that. I've known that for years. And to the point where alcohol was no longer the problem. The problem was me picking up the alcohol, and that's still true to this day. Kind of believe that I needed some kind of outside assistance to help it. Step two, yeah, that's why I stuck my tail between my legs and went back to the rehab I used to work at, because I knew that there was no way I was getting sober on the streets for sure. And step three is like kind of tricky for me because I don't believe that I need to turn my will over to anything else. I'm now that I'm free from the alcohol and the drugs and from that's not a problem anymore. That's what made me make bad decisions for the most part. And the emotions and feelings I dealt with that led me to drink are what maybe led me to make bad decisions. So now that those are no longer an issue for me, I'm able to be much more in control of my emotions and my decision making is a lot better these days. So step three was a little tricky for me. But yeah, just realizing that, okay, I need to, I think, from a secular standpoint, it's just realizing that my decision making used to be fucked. I used to make horrible decisions that wound me up in jail or on the streets or at odds with my employer or coworkers or neighbors or people. And these were all decisions that I made because I had fucked up thinking and I drank to kind of correct, to try to correct that, and it made it worse. So now realizing that and realizing that I'm now capable of taking, our topic in the meeting this morning was on the pausing and realizing that I can now, oh, geez, it's been 10 minutes already. I'll wrap it up. Realize that I'm now able to make better decisions. And the fourth, and just the fourth step real quick, just writing down like where those decisions led me and how they affected my relationships with everything, with sex, with employment, with personal relations, why I was holding on to all these resentments and angry at people from years back, and putting that down on paper and looking at where I had my part in it and what I could do to correct those behaviors now. And then the rest is being, the rest of the step work is just maintenance, and to me it's just maintenance and being of service and paying back what I've gotten from this program, which is a lot. And I'll just end real quickly by, saying I have been through a lot good and bad in this program. I've had a chance to go to some places that I've always wanted to go to. I went down to Miami and Key West a couple years ago. I've had a chance to travel a little bit around the Southeast, visit some family and go to some places around there that I've always wanted to go. I have a couple other trips planned in the near future that I've always wanted to do. I've dealt with the loss of my brother through cancer in this program. We just lost our house in the Altadena fire and going through the stress and the trauma of that. Watching friends lose loved ones and animals, losing loved ones myself. All these things I've gotten through. The good things are as a result of me being sober, and the bad things I've gotten through as a result of reaching out to people because I've cast a wide enough net and have enough people in that, in my circle of recovery friends, that I can't think of any single situation I would go through that I don't have somebody in my phone that I can't call that has gone through the same thing or something similar enough that I can call out and be like, "Hey, how do you, my brother's dying of cancer. How do I deal with these feelings? He died. What do I do about funeral arrangements?" When we went through this fire recently, a lot of the people in this room and in my other home groups pulled together and started a GoFundMe and rallied around me to kind of keep me from freaking out about where I was going to be at in life. And that's, just strictly as a result of the people I've met in these programs, and because I've haven't picked up a drink and I've done a little bit of work. It's not difficult at all. I tend to make it more difficult than it needs to be, but it's at a, you know, at its base, my recovery today, I try to go to a meeting most mornings. I try to, and I try to call somebody. If I don't go to a meeting, I try to make a point of calling at least one other alcoholic. I don't drink, and I try to correct my behaviors when I start to skew towards being an asshole and getting back into the kind of behaviors that led me to drink in the first place. And that's really it, and the rest of it, I kind of just take life as it comes and try not to take anything too seriously and not try to leave stress out of my life as much as possible. Some is unavoidable, but I don't need to take on more than it's due me. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm very happy to be celebrating 7 years. This is the longest time I've ever been sober and definitely the best sobriety I've had. And that's thanks to all you people. So just thank you again, Jan, for asking me to share. And I will stop rambling with that because I can't believe I thought I was gonna have trouble taking up 10 minutes, but it went by like that. So I'll turn it back over to you, Jan. Thank you.